It's been an eventful week. All right. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. As a way to make a guy feel late is put the prayer request first, come in the door, huh? Okay. I thought maybe I should start at the last point and work backwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin in verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this season of giving where we're to remember what you've given us and given us your Son and given us salvation and given us an example that we should follow in his steps and giving us all things freely by thy wonderful grace. As we look to your word this evening, I pray that you'd open our hearts and that you would touch my lips. Help me to speak truth and clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, this passage is about giving to ministry, giving to those who are serving, whether they be missionaries, whether they be in the work of the church, or those churches in need. So it's principles of giving in ministry, in meeting the needs of God's people, and that is very clear. But I bring it as a passage about giving this evening, as we are in the season of giving. A lot of times we look at Christmas, and sure, in our circles, we focus on the birth of Christ to a degree. But I think a lot of times we kind of separate the birth of Christ with the gift giving. The gift giving is something that we do as family and friends and so forth. And then we also celebrate the birth of Christ. We continue to hold to Christmas as a way to testify to the world what Christ, what God has done for us in giving us his Son. It's one of the few, if not the only holiday left that the world recognizes Christ even a little bit. And, you know, they've, especially in our generation's lifetime, they've worked hard at removing even that. I remember when it was a big deal about replacing Christ with X, Merry Xmas or Happy Xmas. And some people, you know, squawked back. So I thought it was good. We needed to. that seems to have kind of faded away. But it is, and then there's a lot of Christians out there that want to separate from Christmas because of the timing of the year and all that, and Catholic roots, whatever, those things. And we've looked at that before. My personal argument against that is, like I just said, it's basically the last holiday that the lost, the world, still acknowledges Christ. And I don't have to get into an argument with a lost man about pagan origins, because they don't care. They still have a hint of recognizing Christ in that day. So use it. We're supposed to be giving the gospel. We're supposed to share with them the reason that Jesus came. So we know all those things. That's just kind of a brief overlook and reminder. And in our circles, we do focus on that at Christmas time. But we often kind of separate the idea of gift giving from the greatest gift of all. The whole reason, kids, the whole reason that we exchange gifts at Christmas is because God gave us the greatest gift. And it's so easy to lose that because, well, you gave somebody a toy. Well, God didn't give us a toy. Well, you gave somebody a set of dishes. Well, God didn't give us a set of dishes. You gave somebody some project you worked on. Whatever. And we quickly lose because we're looking at that one item. Or maybe we spend months dreaming up the things that we need or the things that we want. Or, you know, we saw it on the internet or some catalog or a billboard as we drove down there. Oh, I want one of those. And so you tell everybody, that's the top of my wish list. And you hope Christmas Day that you find that all wrapped up with your name on it. And we get caught up in having, in wanting, and missing the point. I want you to see here in this passage about giving. There's two things. We'll get to the second one in just a moment. But after Paul says all this stuff about praising them for their generosity and explaining to them the purpose of giving, that it is you're to have an open heart to hear the Lord's leading, and you're to give to those things. And if you reap sparingly, excuse me, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And God will make grace abound towards you and will bless you so that you can further bless others. So you see all these principles in here that he's teaching. But then he ends it in verse 15 with, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." So we memorize verse 15, and we memorize verses 6 and 7, usually separately. And there's nothing against that, you know. I'm not saying we have to memorize the whole passage. We're doing a great job memorizing those two verses. But in our minds, we separate those two verses as if they're from completely different parts of the Bible. That's what I'm getting at the moment. Paul teaches all this stuff about giving, how to give properly, what condition our hearts are supposed to be in, and that we are to be givers and so forth. But he sums it all up with the main reason for giving is thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So if we exchange gifts at Christmas, or if you choose not to, that's fine. But the main reason for giving still applies. Giving is a recognition, is a way to demonstrate thankfulness unto God for his unspeakable gift. If you begin to speak of the gift of Christ to this world, honestly and thoroughly, you will never be able to stop. If you're really trying to be thorough about it, you will talk about it the rest of your life. Because the more you speak of it, and the more you dwell on it, the more you will see how great of a gift it is. It is an unspeakable gift. The tongue of man, the mind of man cannot fathom, cannot comprehend, cannot put into words the full extent of the gift of salvation. We can't do it. Giving is to be the reflection of his gift. Here in this passage, again, it is giving towards needs, giving towards the ministry, giving towards those in ministry, yes. But really, if you stop and think about it, all gift giving is to be a reflection of his unspeakable gift. Ephesians 2:8 reminds us, by grace are you saved through faith, not of ourselves, but it is the gift of God. That's the introduction. We're saved by grace, by faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. If you need to sum it up, it's right there. We are saved. Oh, well, we don't really feel the full extent of that right now because we're fairly comfortable. You know, even if our life situation isn't exactly what we would envision as comfortable, we're comfortable. Even if the car doesn't want to get out the driveway, we can just hop in another car and come anyway. Even if your living quarters aren't exactly what you like, some people have a mud hut. Jack and Sophie have, some basic boards screwed together. We've got it real nice. It's so easy to forget what we're saved from because we don't really feel like we're saved from much right now. We don't feel like we have very much to be saved from because we don't see the fires of hell. We don't taste that. We won't really understand the full extent of salvation until we stand before the Lord. And at that moment, before he wipes all tears away, I think is when we'll get the full impact of salvation. That's why there'll be some tears to wipe away. But because of that, because we don't understand the full impact, we get lazy. We get caught up in consumerism no matter how hard we try not to. It's kind of the way it is in our culture, in our place on this earth. So when Christmas comes around, we focus on the birth of Christ, but we hardly ever actually focus on the reason for giving it. It's there. We'll talk about it. A few pat little sayings. But do we focus on it? I want to look at that a little bit this evening. And I realize that we're just 2 days before Christmas. Probably everybody's already got their gifts or made their wish lists and waved them under everybody's nose a whole lot. Whatever. So maybe it's a little bit late in the season, but it's never too late for just a reminder. Even in this passage, in verse 5, the reason I began there is Paul began this explanation of effective giving and the heart of giving by saying that it be done as a matter of bounty, not necessarily, as you get the whole idea of what he's saying here, that's not saying just only give if you have extra. Okay, that's not what he means by bounty here. It means just give. So bountifully. Give and let the Lord take care of the rest. So as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Wait a minute. How does that fit in? He's talking about how good of givers they are. How can you be giving out of covetousness? Well, see, Paul just told them he'd been bragging on them. He'd been telling other churches, and their example of giving was encouraging other churches to give. So what happened? Oh, if I give more, then I get more accolades. If I get more, my reputation goes up, up, up. If I get more, give more, more people look up to me. And so the giving was becoming a coveting situation in itself. They say, well, how did they do that? This was the Corinthian church that just came out of 1 Corinthians. You know, they were still working through some things. But at the same time, they were just people. We have the same reactions. Oh, I was recognized for doing that. I'll do it some more. It becomes an area of covetousness for what I can get out of it. I'm giving, but I'm really giving to get. And the same thing happens with exchanging gifts. You know, I'm going to give to so-and-so because if I give to them, well, maybe they'll give something to me. And if I give this really nice gift, maybe they'll feel obligated to give me some really nice gift. And that begins to play in our minds. It does, because we're all humans. Okay, so we can so easily turn giving itself into covetousness. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And again, applying this to this time of year, you know, maybe we're writing our wish list on one side and showing that around. Hey, this is what I want for Christmas. But on the other side, you know, we're... You know, we think we're doing really great. We're giving all these people different presents. But our focus is still more on, I wonder who's going to fulfill my wish list. I wonder who's going to give me this, or who's going to give me that, or did so-and-so read my list? Excuse me. See, covetousness at this time of year is our main problem. It really is. Even Natalie, she's all thrilled about Christmas because the presents. You know, and our family's not even that big on presents. But it doesn't take long for a little child's mind to think, oh, presents, presents, presents. This is great. It's something that we must continually work on to teach our children the main reason of giving is not covetousness. The main reason of giving is to reflect the greatest gift ever. So if they are to reflect it, how do we reflect? Because I said a minute ago, a set of dishes doesn't necessarily reflect a baby born in a manger. A toy definitely doesn't. A gag gift definitely doesn't. You know, how do we reflect? Well, Matthew 7, verse 11. back in the Sermon on the Mount, we've been there a lot. Matthew 7, verse 11 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So if we're to reflect what God gives to us, then we're to give good gifts. We're to give something that is good to whoever we're giving them. Why? Because God gives good gifts to us. God says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more does God give good gifts to us? So when we're considering giving someone something to someone, we ask, is it good? And in the light of the Scriptures, going back to 2 Corinthians there, is it something they need? the best way to give something good is something that they need, something that's going to be a blessing to them. And we see that in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift from God is a blessing, isn't it? It's just the word perfect implies that it's going to bless you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's molded for your life. God knows exactly what you need, and He's going to bless you with what you need when you need it. And the New Testament especially says that many, many times. So if we're to reflect God's mode of giving to us, then when we give to others, are we being a blessing? Are we being a blessing? And then 1 Peter 4, we also see that it should be useful. It should be useful. God gives us useful things. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, and this is speaking of spiritual gifts, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So, Pastor Derek's taken us through the spiritual gifts. And the Bible tells us clearly that God gave us spiritual gifts and does give us spiritual gifts in order for us to minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the whole reason that God gives us spiritual gifts is so we share them to show people the grace of God. And yes, this is talking about the spiritual gifts, but it really applies to all gift giving because we are to reflect the unspeakable gift. So if we're reflecting the unspeakable gift, it's useful. It's useful. God knows, as Pastor Derek's been explaining, God knows your character makeup. He knows who He made you to be. So He knows which spiritual gift is going to be best expressed through your life. God gives you something useful to be used, as the Bible clearly says, to be used to show the manifold grace of God. The whole picture. Manifold, the many-faceted, the ever-expanding. That's what we're to be showing people around us. It's the purpose of the spiritual gifts. And then one more passage, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Oh, these are all verses that we know. Just a simple study to put them in perspective with this season this evening. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all shall it be measured to you again. You can say, ha, there, I can be covetous. I can give to get. That's not what it means. It just means, as God gave, freely gave, freely give. As God freely gave to you, freely give. You know, at different times you hear kids talking about their gift giving. Well, I can only do this. I'm only going to do this much, but I'm hoping for this much. You know, and they're learning. But it's an opportunity to teach right there, isn't it? The Bible says freely give because He freely gave. So just a couple things as you consider gift giving. use your gift-giving to reflect what God has given you. Is it a good gift? Is it a good gift? Does it meet somebody's need? Does it bless them? Is it useful to them? And is it freely given, or have we attached strings, or are we doing it out of covetousness that if I give, maybe I'll get more? Think about those things as we enter this time, this week. What's your purpose for giving? What was your thoughts behind it? Because it is an opportunity for you to reflect what God has given you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you again for the unspeakable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time where we can come together and remember all that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each of us with an understanding that every gift we give as your child is an example for the many, many, many things that you've given to us. Ask now you bless the rest of this evening in Jesus' name.